Amen. Thank you, Lord. Help him, God.
Help us.
It's good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Tell you what, after the week I've had, I couldn't wait to get back.
Amen.
Come in here with you, around people that love you and where the power of God is.
That's right.
Thank God, I tell you what, it's a good way he said me to go into the house of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So let's turn over to Titus chapter 3. I'm going to try to teach. I hope I might end up preaching, but we'll try to teach you. Over Titus chapter 3, it says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness of the Lord, kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done,
Amen.
But according to His mercy He saved us,
right.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by the grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works.
Yes.
These things are good and profitable unto men.
Yes.
Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, yes, and thank you for the Calvary, the blood, Lamb, and the goodness of God. Well, God, I need your help today. God, I pray, oh God, that you help me, Lord, and just speak through me, God. God, a lot of times I get my mouth gets ahead of my brain. God, slow me down and help me, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us. God, we need your people, Lord. God, we need you. Lord God, I pray you help us. Amen.
Amen.
I want to bring a message or teach a lesson, whatever, on what does God think of me?
Yeah.
You ever ask yourself that? What does God think of me?
Yeah.
I mean, you ask this question, and you ever wonder what people think of you? I mean, you out somewhere and you think, well, what these people think about me? And then, do you even care if anybody thinks about it? Sometimes, at one time I used to really care and everything, and then there's so much junk went on, and people say one thing and another, and you just get to the point you don't care half the time.
Yeah.
But to some extent, most of us do care what others think of us.
Sure.
We care. Now, let me ask you another question. Has anyone ever told you what they think about you? I mean, just come out and tell you what they think about you.
Yeah.
Hey, when they do, you're often sorry they did, I wish to, Brother Jason Coley over there, and a friend of mine, he's going to be with the Lord. He said a guy just cussed him out, and he thought, maybe I needed that. I mean, that man beat me all over the sea. He said, Dad, say something to me. He said, well, I got to love you, but I don't have to like you. What would you do? What do you do when somebody tells you what they think about you? Sometimes you're sorrowful for what they thought or told about you, and then sometimes, it sounds good. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to come up to you and ask you what you think about me. Now, you ain't got to worry about that, and I'm not going to tell you what I think about you. I mean, your body will show, your life will show it, what God thinks about you, what you think about God. And I want to just look at a few matters from the spiritual perspective here. And if you'll ask Satan, what does he think about you? He'd probably say, you're a failure. You're a failure. You ain't no good. Yeah. There's a lot of people can't go through life. And the devil's telling them, you're a failure. You can't do nothing for God. Yeah. Why do you keep going on?
Yeah.
And that's just the devil. And here you're saved and born again, and you want to be doing what God wants you to do. And when Satan when he would probably say, you're a failure, you know, he said, you're a failure. And if you're depressed, that's going to get you even more depressed. And then if the society would ask you what they think about you, they might say, well, you're a fool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they say. You go to church all the time. They say, look at him. He's all the time going to church.
Yeah.
Every time you see him, he's going to church.
Yeah.
Where are you going to church? They said, man, that guy's a fool.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you what, we'll find out who the fool is when Jesus Christ comes back.
Amen.
But what does the Lord think about you? What does he think about me? And Satan here, you know, you ever wonder just what he thinks about you on a daily basis? I mean, does he look at your life and people look at your life and what they think in their hearts? They might say, well, you're a fake. You know, I've heard people and preachers say, well, I give him 3 weeks. I give him 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And here, 42 years, 41 years, and I'm still living for God.
Right.
I mean, look how long you've lived for God. But look how many people that's professed Jesus Christ and is not even in church today. But yet they made a profession and they did run well for a while. And then they're out of church.
Yeah.
They're out of church because of sin in their heart. But Paul, in his writing in Titus, to a young preacher on the Isle of Crete, in chapter 2, he wrote about the believers, how they should behave in church. In the chapter, he talks about the believers that should behave in society. Paul calls on Titus, Paul called Paul on Titus, and he puts them in mind about certain things, you know, about how to act, and sure how to act out in this world, and how you should be. In these verses here, Paul answers the question I proposed to you a little bit ago. What does God think of me? These passages here are instructions, and we can find in here a word of encouragement if you will listen.
Yeah.
As some of you may be discouraged, as discouraged as you wonder, you know, how does God see me? How does he see me?
Yeah.
Well, if you're saved, we're about to find out how God sees you. I mean, somebody who can't get nothing right, somebody who's seemingly fall and stammer around, and every time I try, it seems like I get knocked down. And I got to studying this, and God really touched my heart.
Amen.
If you're not saved here today, it ain't going to mean nothing to you. Because if you're not saved, this stuff doesn't apply to you. But I want to just bring out a few things, and I'm not going to hurry through this. And the time comes up, I'll quit. But I'm not going to hurry through this. Over in Titus 3:6-6, it says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another."
Yeah.
But after the kindness of the Lord of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed of us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Right.
It's a renewing. You need a renewing in your life.
Right.
But Satan says, God doesn't care about you. How many times you heard that? And when you get along sometimes and when you're depressed, and God don't care about you.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be going through all this stuff if God cared about you. And, you know, but God has something completely different to say about that. These verses teach us here that God loves us more than we can possibly understand. In verse 3, we see the extent of His love. In verse 3, He says, I'm going to read these a lot because I want you to get it in your head. He says, for we ourselves are also, we're sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So what does God think of me? I tell you what He thinks of me. He got that extended love toward me. He extends that love toward me. Even though in verse 3 He paints a vivid picture of how I am and how I was until I met Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's how you were.
Yes.
You're foolish. He said foolish. You're ignorant of everything to do with God. You're disobedient. You're rebellious toward the authority and institute of God. You're deceived. In your mind, you're deceived. You continue to lead deeper and deeper into sin by Satan. Serving to diverse lusts and pleasures. A slave to our flesh, appetite, and passion. We want to do what the flesh wants. You see, people, they're not concerned about how to help somebody else. They're concerned about what can I get? What can I get out of this? What will God do for me out of this?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry if you go in with that. God probably won't do nothing for you. God loves you. And what does He think about you? What does He think about you? He thinks you're precious. You're precious to Him. He says, serving divers lusts and pleasures. That's a slave to the fleshly appetite and passions. Living in malice, given over to a lifestyle of evil. Envy, never satisfied with what we have, but always grasping for more. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I preach sometimes I'm that way.
Yeah.
I mean, still, this old flesh, buddy, is envy, wanting more. Wanting to get out and get more. I need to shuck Him things and go with God and get this out of my mind. God saved me. He saved my soul. But this old flesh ain't saved yet. And hateful. How many people you see is just downright hateful? This is the natural fruit of all the above. Everything above. The kind of life makes us mean-spirited and hard to get along with.
Yeah.
You ever seen them people? You just can't get along with them. I don't care if you bring them a lollipop. That says the wrong thing and you got them the wrong thing. They'd want a different kind. I tell you what, there's just some people that just can say something to you and man, you just feel like they told you off.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't mean it that way or nothing, but you know, that's how you feel.
Sure.
I mean, they just got that attitude about them and hating one another. Walking without love for our fellow man.
Yeah.
We ought to have love to our fellow man. This is our family right here. We ought to have love for one another. Have charity in our heart. See someone in pain. See someone in hurt and needing help. Just reach out a hand and help them.
Yeah.
It ain't going to hurt you. It might help you.
Right.
I mean, you go down the road many times and you think, well, what's their problem? You know, why ain't they here? Why are they doing it? Why ain't they doing it? Maybe it's because you ain't prayed for them. You ain't loved them enough. Maybe you're their problem.
Yeah.
God thinks, what does God think of us? What does He think of us? What does He think of me? Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even of others. You think about when you was lost, how you lived, how you did all the things you did. But you know what? God still died on the cross for you. He loved you so much that He died for you. Even though you don't want Him, even though some people don't never have nothing to do with Him, and they're lost and going to hell.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, and neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adultery, or nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Even in that condition, God loved you. He loved you. You say, well, how could He love me? When I was in that condition, because that's what He come to the earth for. He loved you. You were God's creation, and He loved you. He loved Adam and Eve. And when they sinned, when Adam sinned, and he took away everything that the human body God had planned for us, and sin come into, God still loved you. God come through the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? He knows where he was.
Yeah.
He just wanted to know if he was going to admit where he was. But even in that condition, he still loved us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I love thee and with I love thee with an everlasting love. Yeah. Therefore, now loving kindness have I drawn thee. I tell you, it's not like the love that we have. I tell you, you see families and you see parents, men and women, married for 30 years, and then all of a sudden they just fall out of love. How can you do that? How do you just fall out of love with someone that you've loved? Me and my wife, Tuesday, it'll be 42 years that I asked her to marry me, and I have not fell out of love with her. I'm still in love with her. Oh, sure, we get aggravated at each other, and we might fuss and fight, but I tell you what, I still love her.
Amen.
The people today, they just falling out left and right. But that everlasting love that God gives us, that love and kindness that draws us to Him.
Yeah.
It's a love like you've never had before. And the thing is, people come to church and they get in here and they think, well, we want to go to church and we want to do this and do that. But yet they still want to do the things of the flesh. They still want to go out and do things and go out and be in places that they should not be. If your love of God's in your heart, God don't want you out there. If this body is a temple of God, He don't want you out there in some places in this world.
Right.
He don't want you out there in the beer joints or the dance halls or these other places. Some places you just got to get out of there. I mean, I've been somewhere before and seen, hey, this place ain't for me, and I got out.
Yes, sir.
You can't go in. You go in there, some of these places, I mean, everywhere you go, you know, they about got a bar in it. But I tell you what, I might eat there. But I tell you what, I go in there and they say, we'll set you over there. I say, no, you won't. I say, you put me back yonder somewhere. I'm not going in there in that bar and sit in there and then somebody see you there and think you got a drink or drinking or something. I'm not going to be in there. There's just some things I'm not going to do. And they act like they don't like it, but I don't care. I'm paying for it.
That's right.
I want to be away from that junk. I wouldn't even go there if there's a place around that you didn't have to go there. But you just in this. Bible says, you're in the world, but I'm not of the world. Thank God. I got saved August 15, 1976, and my life changed.
Amen.
Thank God if you had never had a change in your life, I'm afraid you're not saved.
Amen.
Things I once loved and once wanted to do. I don't want to do them no more. Thing, I used to drink the old rot gut stuff. Thank God I'm drinking from a new fountain now. I drank from the love of God, the Word of God. Thank God that Word is ever inside of me. I'm never thirsty, thank God.
Amen.
I'm not looking for something. I didn't go out looking for it. He found me.
Right.
People say, I found it. I'm afraid these people who found it, I'm afraid they're the ones that lose it.
Yeah.
Hey, if you got a hold of somebody by the wrist and they got you like that, it's hard to let go. Yeah. But if you just got them like this, it'd slip out of your hand. I'm glad God's got me like that. Thank God I'm glad I'm in the hands of Jesus Christ. I'm glad He died on the cross of Calvary. I'm glad they nailed the spikes in His hands.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, He was nailed in His hands. My sins was nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
Tell you what, it's the evidence of His love. His love, I'm telling you, the love of God, it's something else. It's in spite of what we're all taught, in spite of what these people teach, all these different religions teach, and all these people come up, and my mama's with her, knock, come on the door. I went out there, sure enough, as a Jehovah Witness. She had her little papers there. Well, I didn't give her time to start talking. I tried to be good. I mean, I tried to be nice.
Yeah.
And but it's hard to be nice to people who you know are damning souls to hell.
Yeah.
If they believe what they believe and what they say, they're going to hell.
That's right.
I mean, it's not me. I'm not condemning them. The Word of God condemned them.
Right.
They
right.
condemn themselves.
Yeah.
And but the evidence of His love, the verse says, after that, in other words, in spite of what we are. God chose to display His love in us. How did He do that, preacher? How did He decide for me? But how did He decide to display His love in us?
Yeah.
As wicked as we was, and the things that I've done, but yet God chose to display His love in me and so forth, the love of God in me.
Amen.
I can't fathom that in my mind. The love of God. What He thinks of me. What I thought of myself when God called me to preach. I thought, I can't preach. I can't even get up there in front of people. I've been that way all my life. That's just how it was. But God thought differently. God knew differently. Romans 5, 6 is for when God, when we were yet sent, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, I didn't have no strength. Wicked and vile, but He died for me. He knew then that when He died for me, I'm in heavenly, seated in heavenly places. If we could get that through our mind, that we're with God today, this old body's just on this earth, but our spirit's up there with God. Tell you what, if you just think about it, what does God think of me? What does He think of me? He loves you.
Yes.
He loves you so much. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein love not we the love of God. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Thank God! I'm glad He loved me!
Amen. Amen, brother.
Man, if it comes to me loving him as much as after I'm saved. I mean, I didn't love God before God saved. I didn't know nothing about him. I didn't know nothing about the book of God. I didn't know really who he was. I just know it was a word. I was told about Jesus Christ, but I was never really explained the love of God.
Yes.
How he loved me.
Right.
What he thinks of me. I tell you what. The evidence of his love, it just blows my mind. If you need evidence that you are precious to the Lord, then you don't need to look no further. Just look to Calvary.
Yes.
Look unto Calvary. Look at what he done on Calvary for you. How he was crucified. How he was spit upon. And all the different things that happened to him. Just look at Calvary and you can see the love of God. I guarantee you, there ain't a one of you in here would go do that for any one of us.
Right.
You know what? I don't know what would happen. We'd come in here with guns one day, maybe going to take us out of here. They love to put the preacher down and go to shooting. What you going to do? What you going to do? A lot of people would back off. A lot of people don't want. They scared. I ain't going to say I wouldn't be scared. Hey, I ain't all that brave. I tell you what, I guarantee you one thing, I got 9 shots. That's all I'll say about that. Thank God, I'm glad that evidence of that love. If you need the evidence, evidence that you are precious to the Lord, then like I said, don't look no further, just look to Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sins for us, who knew no sin, and that we might be made righteous of God in him, and know that you are special to the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, you're special. God looks down. I'm like, look at the Father that you got, that you can cry out to him and he'll listen to you.
Yeah.
Now, how does he listen to everybody at the same time? He's God, that's how.
Right.
That's the only way to explain it. He's just God.
Right.
Because you get 4 or 5 people, we get everybody in here praying. I don't know what everybody's saying. You might hear this, that. It's funny, God can hear it all. People say, well, how can God do that? Because he's God. And then the energy of this love. You got the evidence of this love, the energy of this love in Titus in 5 and 6. Be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm in the wrong place. Let's get back over here. I thought something didn't sound right. And verse 5 and 6 of chapter 3 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. You get that abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He didn't skimp on it. He saved it. He put it on us abundantly. What he did, what did this wonder of God? It was a marvelous, amazing. He did it all for us. A part of the answer is found in the word. It says, but in verse 4, it says, but after, it says, but in this verse, God knew what we were. He knew what we were. He knew that we was disobedient. He knew we was deceived. He knows all this. He knows all these things about us. He knew everything about me before I ever knew him.
Right.
But yet he still loved me and still saved me. And he still looked down on me, even as bad as I was, as wicked as I was. And he loved me.
Yes.
God, I tell you what, God is something else. God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein we loved us. And the but, up there he says it, he said, but God in Ephesians 2:4.
Right.
Over in Luke 15:22 is a but there. The prodigal son went off. The prodigal son was gone. And then he come back. But God loved him. And God loves me. He said, give him the best robe. Put a ring on his finger. Hey, he looks at me. And he's going to give me the best. You're going to have the best too. But I'm going to have the best too. We all going to have the best.
Yes, sir.
We got the best of both worlds. We're down here. And then when we get up there, we got the best.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't feel like I got the best. Well, you need to just keep hanging in there. He extended His grace and His mercy to us when we deserve nothing but hell. You deserve nothing but to go to hell. And He gave us mercy and He gave us grace.
Amen.
He extended His grace and mercy to us. Even though you didn't deserve it, He extended it out. There was nothing but hell waiting on you.
Yeah.
And He extended that grace out. He saved us from all the penalty of sins. All the penalty of sins. He was nailed to the cross. He cleansed us from the defilements of sins and the washing. He made a new creature out of us. The regeneration. He made me a new creature.
Yes.
Washing away.
Yes.
Thank God, I tell you. I get to thinking about what He's done for me and how God is good to me. How God has blessed me in my life.
Yeah.
How God, you get the poochy lips sometime. And I tell you what, you get down and out. But you start looking around and count your blessings. And look what God has done for you.
Right.
Yes, sir. What does God think about me? He loves me. That's what He thinks. God did all this with no help from us. He did all this. He died on the cross. He come up from the dead, rose and went sit on the right hand of God. And He saved soul. And we don't have nothing to do with it.
Right.
Amen.
People say, well, you gotta live it. They say, well, you gotta pray in. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. I'm gonna tell you what. Your heart's broken, and you got that contrite spirit, and God breaks your heart. I'm going to tell you what, when God reaches out and God touches you, you'll see your lost condition and cry out to God, and there's no if or ands or buts, and God saves you.
Right.
You can't do nothing.
No.
There's nothing you can do. I tell you what, and then God thinks, He thinks you're... He thinks you're perfect. Can you imagine that? He thinks I'm perfect.
Sure, He knows that's right.
Because He looks down through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Can't be nothing but perfect. Christ was perfect. So this old flesh ain't perfect, but God looks down and sees it. So it's perfect.
Right.
Amen.
He is right.
Again, the enemy of the believers, Satan and the flesh, will tell you you're dirty, you're wicked. And you have no hope of all. Folks, the devil is a liar over in John 8:44. Says he's a liar and the father of it. And when you get down and out and discouraged and the devil's putting all that in your mind, remember he's a liar.
Amen.
He lies. He told Eve a lie. He lied. He's just a liar. You can't believe a word that he tells you. I'll tell you what, you can't believe your own heart, what it tells you.
Right.
The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
That's right.
And you hear preachers stand up, well, if I know my heart, you don't know your heart.
Right.
You might be here 1 minute and praising God, and next thing you know, your heart's got you out of the will of God.
Right.
You don't know your heart. You know when you get in and stay with God, stay in the Word. And verse 7 tells you what God thinks about you standing. He says that He has justified by His grace. He said that in that being justified by His grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope. We should be made heirs, justified of grace. We should be heirs according to the hope of eternal salvation. But I tell you what, eternal life. We see here God justified. What does justified mean? A definition of justified. What does it mean to me? Justified. Justified comes from a word meaning to render righteousness or such as he ought to be. It is a word that speaks of God declaring the saved person to be in perfect and right standing before God. This is saying a lot. I'm justified before God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And then what is a description? That's a definition and a description. Being justified is far different from being forgiven. Some people think that justification is just the forgiveness of our sins. Justification is far more powerful than that. When there is sin, is forgiveness, there's also the remembrance of the wrong commitment in this life. You know, they're not going to forget. Man might be convicted of murder and be forgiven by the victims of the family, but everyone would still call him a murderer. They'll call him a murderer. And then on the other hand, a person who had been justified has been totally adequate and exonerated of all charges. There's absolutely no record of any wrongdoing. When we're all justified by God, all record of our sin is forever banished from the memory of the Lord. It is if he had never even done it. As if we'd never even done it.
Yes, right.
I can't get it out of my mind, but Jesus don't know it as if I've never done it.
Right.
Thank God, can you get a hold of that? You've never even done the thing in his sight.
Right.
Jeremiah 31:34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thank God, I'm glad he don't remember my sins no more. I'm glad, thank God, you might remember them, the devil remembers them. I tell you what, somebody brings them up, that's just the devil bringing them up. God don't remember them no more. In Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In verse 16 of Hebrews 10, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds will I write them. In verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Hey, the bottom line is this. The law has no claims against a justified person.
Right.
I'm not under the law. I don't live by the law. If I lived by the law, we'd all be dead.
Right.
There are no charges against the child of God. Thank God, I'm glad. I'm glad that God looks at me. He looks at through the blood of Jesus Christ and sees me justified.
Hey,
and then I said a definition, a description, and a defense. Some people might hear this and say, well, that's an excuse to sin. No, that's not an excuse to sin. The Lord doesn't remember, and he's already declared for me to be righteous, and then I can do it as I please with no consequences. That's not so. If you'll think that when you're wrong dead in the way you're thinking, you're off base. You can be saved and still sin. Hey, I didn't say you don't sin. You still sin. If you know to do good and do evil, and you don't do it, if you know to do good and you don't do it, I mean, that's sin.
Sure.
When you do your sin will not affect your relationship with God as far as being lost or saved.
Right.
That's not going to affect that. It affects your fellowship with God.
Right.
It won't affect how I am. However, when you as a believer, you can expect two things to happen. First, you can be sure that you will reap what you sow. And then second, you can be sure that God will bring his chastisement in your life. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. I've been under a chastisement of God, and it wasn't very good.
Right.
You might be saved and forgiven as far as heaven and eternity is concerned, but there is an earthly consequence for all sinful actions. Low living carries a very high price. Look at Samson.
Yeah.
Look what he did. He died with the enemy.
Yeah.
And then next of all, God thinks you're privileged. You are privileged. You don't realize how privileged you are.
Right.
But you are privileged. I'm going to get this a little bit and I'm going to close. But you're privileged, and a Christian needs to realize that, and we need to realize that living for God and doing what God would have us to do. The Lord always helps me in Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and content with such as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee and never forsake thee.
Yep.
And then the privilege because, we're privileged because eternal life. I tell you what, I got eternal life, and thank God for that. And I'm glad I'm privileged for that eternal hope. I'm glad one day, it says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and fadeth not, and reserved in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day, last time. We have hope that we are headed to a city in the last time. I got that hope. I'm headed to the city. I tell you what, and then you get down here and God thinks you're profitable. You say, well, why does he think I'm profitable? Because Satan in the flesh often says, God can't use you. You ain't going to amount to nothing. But how many times has he been wrong? I tell you what, old David, he was a whoremonger. I mean, he looked on sin. You take Paul, he was a killer. You take Samson, look what he done. God used him.
Sure.
I tell you, God can use you today.
Sure.
And I don't have time to finish this, but I tell you what does God think of me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for what you give me, Lord. I pray you help us to think about it. And God, thank you during the preaching hour. What does God think of us?
Yes.
Oh, God, I know you love me. And I know you take care of me and meet my needs. God, help me to do more for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody.